meat or something like this, it becomes part of your body temporarily. And you extract the life from it in what is no longer needed, you excrete. And if you didn't excrete it, you would soon pollute your body. Some people have stored up pollutants in their body. I remember back in the 70s, there was microbiotics going all around. It was a purifying diet. And all of a sudden, there were people dying from a purifying diet. They were being killed by the release of the pollution in their body into their blood and dying in their own disease, their own death, their own pollution. Your body holds mucuses and all kinds of bacterias, and every one of them is a willing servant to you by your command and by your word, by your bringing the word or the logos or the power of your vision into being. So we say, hold the perfect image. Love yourself. Respect yourself. And God will heal you. When you make a transition of energy from your body to another body, whatever you are giving them. When you make this transition of energy from one body to another, you are giving them whatever you've got. What else can you give? If you've been tuning to the highest, you'll give them the highest. But if you've been worrying about you and all caught up in your personality and you're there trying to give them something, all you give them is a bunch of trouble. You'll pass your troubles on to them. If you're too sensitive, you might let them pass their troubles on to you, and then you have their disease. But I'll tell you, this release of energy goes to the one that is releasing it. And if you believe you're a healer and that you're doing it, when this energy is released from that individual, it will come to you. That's why we say, of myself, I am doing nothing. To be clear and stay clear in these healing powers. God does it. And he's not bound by any time or space or circumstance or any of these other things. In an instant, healing takes place. But it is the resistance that takes time for that healing to manifest in the individual. I'm not good enough, I'm rotten, I have some negative image of myself. It's going to make a resistance. So some people come in and they're instantly healed. They go down the healing line, you lay on hands, instantly healing. And other people you lay on hands, they keep coming back week after week, month after month, year after year. They get temporary release. They go out and they re-identify themselves with their old negative image, and they reproduce it, and they'll work you to death. I always say, are you ready for the healing? Are you ready for life? Are you ready for this healing? If the individual is not open to it, you are wasting your time. The individual must be open to receiving. The same with you. In order for you to receive divine consciousness, you must be open to it. So how do you open yourself to it? Through the rituals. Through ritualistic magic. Through alchemy. Through a discipline that keeps you attuned. Spirit and matter, matter and spirit are one. And you're aware of this. Are you constantly walking in a God-conscious state? Is God sitting with you now? Did he come riding over here with you the way you were transported over here in your automobile? Was he with you then? Was he with you when you were sitting there eating? Was he with you when you went in and went to the bathroom? Was he with you when you were talking to the boss? When you were talking to your friends, your spouse, your loved ones? Was God standing there then? Are you aware of that? Are you conscious of that? Every time you've lost that consciousness, you have now fallen to finite awareness. And you will have fears and doubts, and all kinds of things will plague you, because that is what is there holding you in it. Your own fears and your own doubts, if you hang on to them, will definitely come into manifestation. Whatever you hold on to will come into manifestation. So you get a hold of your good self. You get a hold of your higher self. You get a hold of your God self. And you don't let go. You cling on to that robe of light. You hang on. You have the tenacity to hang on. Did you ever see a little bulldog? You know, they were trained to bite onto these great big bulls. That's what the bulldog was trained for. That's why he's called a bulldog. It's not because he looks like a bull or anything. It's because he was trained to pit bulls and bleed bulls. And they used to use them before they just used the picadors and did it that way. They used to use the dogs to tire the bull to make the kill easier, you see. Just like the bleeding of the bull with the sword. Well, one of those little dogs would clamp onto that leg. I mean, that bull could be kicking and stomping and everything, and that dog would just be flying around. His mouth wouldn't even come loose from that. He had the tenacity. He stuck with it. That was his reason to be. That's what he was trained for. That's what he was made for. You are made in the image of God. That's what you were made for, to glorify God. And if you stick to that, like that little bulldog sticks to his image, if you stick to this glorious image that you're God experiencing, and don't let anything shake it from you, even though it may look bigger than you, like that bull may look to that little dog, don't let anything shake you from holding on, holding God in your heart, holding love in your heart, holding that beautiful light close to you, holding on and grasping and not letting go. That takes a day-to-day practice. Every time you lose your consciousness, when you come back to consciousness, you should reassociate yourself with spirit. Through words, through a deed, through a chanting. When I come into this dimension in the morning, many times I'm just singing and chanting. I'll come out of that light and I'll be hearing the beautiful chords of the universe and angels singing and beings with glorious voices talking and giving the teachings of God and that. And I'll come through a realm where they're all chanting and singing. And I'll start chanting and singing and I'll be waking up. Om Tat Sat Om. Om Tat Sat Om. And my wife will look over at me. She'll smile because she knows. She looks at me strange when we first got together. But now she knows I do those things. She has accepted that. So I'll come in singing. Sometimes I'm singing my Indian morning song. Bringing the energy and light down. See, bringing that energy in. See, I'll go out there and it's just spontaneously coming out because it is my nature now. But it wasn't my nature till I practiced and practiced and practiced until it happened. I did it long enough that now it serves me. I did it so it's like my breath. I did it so like when I open my eyes, I see. I did it like it's a habit, a conditioned reaction. It's my conditioning to come in singing and happy and looking forward to the day. But there was many a days when I looked out the window and I said, oh no, pull them covers back over my head. Oh, no, put that pillow over my head. I don't want to get up yet. I'll go back to sleep for a little bit. Maybe it'll stop that raining, or it's too bright. Pull all the lights. Cut out all the light. Crawl back into the bed. I remember it. It's time to go to school. Oh, no. Remember that one? Ding, ling, ling. It's time to go to work. Oh, no. I'd like to lay here a little longer. How many times have you said, hello? I'm sick today. I can't come in. Hung up the phone and said, oh, good, I get a day off. And then you really want to go to work one morning. You wake up and go, oh, I wonder what's wrong. I really got to get going. You get up and you're so miserable and you go to work and they say, hey, you can't work, go home. Wait, I want to work, I got to work. I got my bills to pay. You wonder why, how come I got sick, you know, I got so much to do. You forgot you were pretending it. You were holding an image and casting that image to your boss saying, I'm sick, look at me. Making all those noises and things. And you were living it out at that moment. When you live it out, you have made it part of your life. You have given it life. How many actors begin to act, and pretty soon the character has them? When I was a kid, I used to go around and I would tell jokes and things. Sometimes I go around, I didn't want to tell jokes, but everybody would say, come on, tell us one. You know, do this one, or say that, or make this face, or make that noise, or
talk with that low voice like that. See, they make me talk with my low voice.
When I was a kid, they thought, oh, that was great. See, you don't think it's so funny anymore, neither do I. But anyway, then it was something. People say, oh, do that, and ah, ha, 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 they all laugh. But then when you didn't want to do it, oh, don't be a party pooper, you don't want to do it. And I go and say, gee, do they really want me, or do they want what I'm doing? You see. And I can see how an actor would get caught up in his act. Because you play the game so long, pretty soon you are the game. You play those games so long, pretty soon you are that game. And that's what happens to the people. They play the game so long, pretty soon they are bound up in that game they've been playing, and they start becoming crazy. They're insane. You know what that is? Not reality. It's not real. It's not logical. It's not the truth. I was watching a report the other night, and it was about crime and insanity, and this woman says, I thought that the government was watching me, and my mother and father were against me, and all of this. So I called them up, and I had them come over, and I gave them some presents, and I gave them some candy, and then I went in the bedroom, and I got a gun, and I shot my dad in the back of the head. My mother turned around. When she turned around, I shot her, too. But I thought they were really going to get me, but now I know they weren't. Now I'm okay. Let me out. Are you ready for that? Let me out now? Huh? Let me out of the game. Now that you got busted in the game, it busts your life, your emotions, your mind. You have breakdowns in those levels by trying to hold up an image that is not in reality. And some of us think we are something. See? There's what we think we are. There's what somebody else thinks we are. It could be a lot of different somebody else's. I have a lot of people have different opinions of me. Well, I get a whole scam of that rainbow all the time. From darkness and light, I get it. Especially when some people first meet me. Right away, they're going to make an opinion of my whole life. You see? And then sometimes they never get over that first opinion. Because that was the one when they were going, oh, and now they're never open enough to let a new image come in. Oh, I know them, they say. Oh, yeah, I knew them when they were a kid. They're probably the same way now. And they've put the same image on them. You are not the same as you were 5 minutes ago. You are never the same. You are constantly changing. You are being reborn every moment. To get on that birth side, just to take your attention off the death side and put it on the rebirth side. Wow. All of a sudden you feel acceleration of new life. I'm reborn. I'm a new creation. It doesn't matter if it's Christianity or Hinduism or Buddhism. They call it a conversion has taken place. The person has converted their life from going into one direction to another direction, from one energy to another energy. Now, sometimes we need a little help to get these conversions because something has got power over us. And a lot of people are doing that. They need a little help. So what do? They say, God, help me. And what does God do? He sends them help immediately. But they say, I know you, I'm talking to you, God, but I know I'm not worthy of it. And so that help puts on the brakes. Because you said, I want it, but I'm not sure I want it. Give it to me, but I don't know that I should touch it. And it's coming to us. So what do? Now, we're not like the average person. You have extraordinary knowledge. Depending on how much you've put into action in your life is how spiritually orientated you are by that extraordinary knowledge that you've gained. You've come to classes, class after classes. And I'm not saying things different than somebody else did. You may hear different words, but I'm saying the same thing. And every teacher, I don't care who they are, if they're talking the truth is always the same, the love is always the same, the wisdom's always the same. And that's the golden key to all mastery. To what is the same in what this teacher's telling me, this teacher's telling me, what this being's telling me, this being's telling me. Because there is only one in whom we all live and move and have our being. There's not two, three, four, five, or six. That's only the manifestations of one. But it never loses the power of one. But if you fall short of the realization, God and me, the universe and me, life and me, now you've got yourself separated. That's the sin. See, sin is separation. And so many people are sinning. How about when you were supposed to tell yourself somebody or tell somebody else something, you got the information, but instead of it, you didn't follow it. Disobedience. The sin of omission. You committed a couple of sins there. First, you were disobedient to the word of God when he says, tell this person a perfect thing here. You say, oh, well, wait a minute. I don't like the way they've been doing something. I'm not going to tell them. So now you work for the devil instead of for God. You work for the dark forces. You're going to hold back that life from them. Who are you to judge them? Doesn't matter who they are. If they're asking, as a spiritual being, you're giving. You're keeping the balance. You're selfless. Are you ready to get off yourself for somebody else? That's the worst offense of all the spiritual people I've met since I began this trek to God consciousness. Is that people will not get off of their own trip to help others. They're not givers, they're all takers. And I've seen people on the path for years and years and years. They've got big churches, they got big organizations, and they are not givers, they are takers. Because they think of themselves before the other. They work from the individual instead of the universal point of consciousness. Are you ready to get off yourself long enough to help somebody else? To put yourself out of the way long enough just to help one other person and not put your trip on them? Because a clear channel does what God's will is, not what your own personal will or experiences brought you, your beliefs. What good's your belief going to do somebody else unless it is a positive high belief and you're holding that consciousness? consciousness in the highest. What good is your experiences unless you have high experiences? What good is your thoughts unless they're high? Something that can lift that other person. So there's a point where you have to become selfless, desireless, helpless, hopeless, hopeless, helpless, desireless, selfless. Boy, those are horrible terms to the personality. Personality says, I don't have any hope. What are you talking about? He's taking my hope away. Personality says, hey, no, he's taking me away. He's trying to save me. I don't exist. I'm saying, take yourself off that point of view, that limited point of view, and look at the allness of yourself. How are you in that other individual? You know, we're all part of one another. We're not separate running around here. That's the illusion. The truth is there's only one humanity, there's only one earth, there's only one God, there's only one you. And you're not limited to this body. That's something that you use. You're not limited to the emotions you've been experiencing. That's something you've been using. And the only thing that you usually have to be able to work with is the things you've already experienced. And if you get fixed in your old experiences, you don't get new experiences. You stop the flow. Hey, you want some new clothes? Go to your house tonight and throw out all the old clothes. I'll guarantee you in a couple of weeks you'll have some new clothes coming in to replace them. You got something that's old there? You got some old ideas? Throw the old ideas out, and I'll guarantee you some new ideas will come to replace them. But they'll come from the source that you are in touch with. So some people will throw out the clothes. They might have to get theirs from the Goodwill. There's other ones that may go down there and buy them at Ward's. Some might go to iMagnum. Someone might have them custom made. But it'll be where you have said okay for that source to come in. Okay, God, I accept your will and your desire. Okay, what's that saying? I accept the best. I'm God experiencing. I deserve the best as God experiencing. Oh, but if the ego gets a hold of that and says, I deserve the best. I don't know about the rest. That's what the ego says. But the truth is, I deserve the best, and you deserve the best because you're God experiencing. And when the two of us with this best consciousness come together, there's going to be a healing power there. There's going to be an uplifting grace. There's going to be an increase of light because these two lights will combine and they'll make another light that will shine brighter. And the more lights, the more brighter. If you got 100 candles burning in this room and you brought in 2 candles, it wouldn't make any significant difference. But if you brought in 10 candles, we'd get more light. You see? By yourself, you can't do it. But with the powers of all the healing forces of heaven, how can any one negative force ever stand against the army of healing power that God has given and has created for you to use? The angels, the masters, the spirit of light, his Holy Spirit, all the powers that are there waiting to rush into action to serve you, the master, commanding them into being. Are you a loving, benevolent, merciful master? Or are you going to say, okay, before you get this healing, you got to do this first? Some of them say, cross my hands with silver before we talk about this, you know. Like the old gypsy lady says, I got lots of candles to buy. Give me money first. Then we pray for healing. And she says, wait a minute. Before we're going to heal, there's 3 guys after me. You better give me some more money to burn some candles and get rid of them, too. Who are you listening to? God's power is free. healing power is free. Healing power is free. Instant manifestation. Life is free. Why is it free? Because it has already been bought for you. It has been bought by the great beings that have come to this planet through the human kingdom and have raised to God and showed us the way to free ourselves from the illusion of this death and disease and suffering. And they have won a victory of light, and they're enlightened, and they're in God conscious, and they're all knowing, they're all wise, they're all love, they're all truth, they're all purity and perfection. They have been lifted. What kind of guides are you calling on to heal? The ones that are ascended and free, or the ones over there in the fourth dimension? Boy, I found out when I was coming to the mainland, the masters that teach me, they said, tell all the spiritualists, and I'm working as a spiritualist, tell all the spiritualists to pray up their guides and go to the highest guidance. So I went to this one spiritualist camp, and I says, you got to pray up all your guides. But I have such a beautiful Indian guide. Pray them to light. Get a master of light. Oh, but I've got a doctor on the other side. His name is Bill Willikheimer. He died about 300 years ago, and he was a great doctor. He doesn't know any more yet today than he knew then. You don't get instant enlightenment on the other side. It doesn't work that way. And some people can't reach any higher in the fourth dimension. In the old age, we had to have some intermediary. We're in the new age. We're ready to take the breath of life, God's Holy Spirit. You know, in the first age, it was Father, Father, Father. The second age was Son, Son, Son. Now we're in the new age of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit. The Spirit. And how's that manifesting? Crystal consciousness, purity, perfection, clarity, clearness. Let's get it clear. Let's get it more precise. Let's progress. If you're trying to use the methods that are bound in time and space and circumstance, they're antiquated already yesterday. Just asked about the progress of these silicone chips that Michael and them are making over here in Silicon Valley. What did he say? 10 years ago, it took up a whole room, I mean a bigger room than this. And now they're putting it on their desk, and it's in a little tiny chip, used to be on reels and reels and reels. They impacted, they concentrated, all the way into the micro levels of concentration. Right into the molecular structures, right down to the atoms. They concentrated right to the particles in the atoms. Dynamic impaction. And what are all these atoms floating in? Form, physical form, emotional form, mental form, psychic form, creative form, individual form, universal form. All of those atoms are flowing within something that does not have form. And there's this perfect blending of the form and the formless. But that is only the part of the manifest universe. The form and formless is part of the manifest universe. The seen and the unseen is part of the manifest universe, because if it was unmanifest, it would be nothing. No thing. But can you relate to unmanifested energy? Because whatever you are, when you touch unmanifested energy, you become more of. When you touch this field of unmanifest, whatever you are, you become more of. Have you noticed how your life has been increasing? Since some of you have been taking this class, you notice how there's much more energy, much more life, there's more consciousness, more energies there. You're getting brighter, and as you reach towards the unmanifest, every time you touch it, you get more of what you are. But you also noticed that you had some little quirks here and there. I don't mean like the quirks in the atoms, I mean the quirks of consciousness. And those also have been magnifying because you have been getting life more abundant. Manifest, seen and unseen. But then there's an unmanifest. An unmanifest. How do you enter the unmanifest? Throw in the things that you don't want manifest. Create a hole. Are you listening to this? Just like you threw the old clothes out to get new ones, you throw out the old thoughts and the old feelings to get new energy there. So as soon as you sacrifice those negatives and let them become unmanifest, whatever you're serving will serve you. Now you have unmanifest energy. So what can you do with that? You can unmanifest the negative by transmission. Are you getting this? You can take this power and unmanifest that negative force. But what is going to happen unless you change the structure of consciousness? Whatever's hanging on it will be formed by that structure. That'll become the body. Just like whatever's hanging on your bones makes up your body. That's the structure. Without the bones, you'd be a blob of flesh. You know that? Wouldn't even stand upright. A puddle of flesh there with eyes hanging in it. Wow, my goodness, no bones? It's hard to think about our structure without bones. But there are structures on the earth without bones. Jellyfish, some worms, things. But where are they at? What conscious level is that? See, you have evolved. You have evolved. And now you have evolved instead of using the powers of the earth to use the powers of heaven. Have you evolved that far with your practice that you are now more conscious of the powers of heaven than the powers of earth? That's how you know you're there. Because you're more conscious of God and the powers of heaven and the powers of the masters and angels and light than you are the powers of the earth, the talking and all those feelings and desires and all those actions of the physical that is always changing. Boy, have you ever noticed how many emotions you go through? But you are always you. All those thoughts that you go through, but you are always you. You're the constant. See? So if you know you, you know the constant. You're aware of yourself. That's your grace, saving grace, is to become conscious that you're God experiencing. It says in Philippians, it says, and he thought it not robbery to be one with God. And he thought it not robbery to be one with God. Are you hearing this? And he thought it not robbery to be one with God. Let the mind that was in Christ be in you. You may have heard that part of it. Let the mind that was in Christ be in you. But the statement before that is, he thought it not robbery to be one with God. Now before that time, and this being showing us this in a living demonstration, it was experienced before that on the planet. There were teachers before. There were maybe that's what that person